A lot of people at this period of time use the cliche, Happy New Year. And I really wonder if those folks understand what true happiness is. I really doubt that the majority of people know what having a happy or joyful New Year really is. There are some temporal, I guess, joys and happinesses that we experience because of circumstances or because of situations. But the true joy and the true happiness for us can only be found in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the onset of His ministry, at the very beginning, there in Galilee, He gave those folks great light in what He said. He revealed the Father unto them. He revealed unto them His kingdom. He showed them and taught them true happiness. The first sermon that we read of Jesus preaching, the Sermon on the Mount, His opening sentence, His opening phrase is blessed be, or we call the Beatitudes, or happy will be the person. Jesus said, you really want joy? You really want happiness? Here is where it's at. You weep, you mourn over your sins, you experience a need spiritually, you have spiritual poverty, and you look to God for the riches that come off the throne, and you will be blessed. Blessed be. There's 10 of those in the 5th chapter of Matthew. The Lord came to bring us joy. He came to bring us true happiness. He came to bring us divine joy and divine happiness. Those of you that have been here the last couple of Sundays, you'll probably be able to connect this to what I said from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, of course, when I was talking about the illumination. Those that sat in darkness saw great light, and the multiplication of nations. And then I talked about the exhilaration of joy. It was prophesied that when Jesus would come, He would give us something in the gospel, and through the transformation of His blood, that we would go forth with great joy in life, as though we were going and taking spoil from nations that we had conquered. Joy in Jesus is what's lacking in a lot of people's lives. Amen. Do you really want to have a happy New Year? Do you believe that's possible for people to have a joyful New Year? Do you know the course that you need to take in order to obtain joy? Do you know the source of that joy? Have you experienced the forces of the Holy Ghost that enables you to experience the joy that Paul talked about and Christ talked about, that the New Testament talks about, that Christians can have if they will walk and live in the Spirit? Those that walk and live in the Spirit, according to the 5th chapter of Galatians, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, the first thing, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and what's the next thing? You can guess it. What's the next thing? What's number two? Love and joy. There's a joy in the Holy Ghost that people need to have. I guess the best thing that can be said at this juncture is, or probably one of the most important things that can be said at this juncture, is if you don't have joy in Jesus, if you will listen closely to me and you'll listen to Jesus Christ, He will teach you, He will show you, He will display to you, He will demonstrate unto you, He will reveal to you how to have a happy New Year. I'll begin in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered. This is John 15 and 6. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, that they are burned. If you abide in me, and of course ye there is in the King James, means it's plural, you all. If you all will abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ not only bring us life, they not only bring us a comfort and peace, but they also bring us joy. Jesus said, I am teaching you these things, I'm instructing you in these things, that you might have joy. But Christ Jesus, he maintains a joy in seeing his disciples obedient unto his words. And when Jesus has joy in us, then we experience a greater degree of joy in ourselves. Our joy grows as Jesus continues to have joy in us. His joy in our service brings a greater degree of joy in our lives. If Jesus is experiencing joy because of our obedience and our service unto him, when we are keeping his word, when we are doing what he says, and he's experiencing joy because of our obedience, then we experience a greater degree of joy in our lives. You cannot disconnect our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and the amount of joy that we experience. So there's a twofold cause. Jesus experiencing joy and us doing what he says. Notice in this verse, he said it pointedly. He said it clearly. These things I have spoken unto you. In other words, he was talking about his teaching. Now, there's a lot of teaching in these chapters. This is a huge Wednesday night service of teaching in this section of the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of teaching. Instruction and understanding the words of Jesus Christ are important. And he's teaching us a lot of things. He's teaching us how to glorify the Father. He's teaching us how to keep the commandments of the Father. He's teaching us how to love one another. Let me just read a few other verses in connection with this, and you'll see what he says. Notice the next verse. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He says, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I commanded. So we can have an increase of joy. He used the metaphor of a cup or a vessel being filled. Okay. He's talking about us experiencing a fullness of joy or more joy in our life. Having our joy run over, being filled to the brim. And so if we have greater joy in the upcoming year, the children of God need to obey the word of Jesus. A joyful new year for a child of God depends on our adherence to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people think that they can avoid that, or they can get around that and still experience Christian joy. It's not going to happen. Listen to me. Every command, every teaching, every instruction, every word of the Lord Jesus Christ is a signpost pointing us to greater degrees of joy. And when you turn away from the direction of joy for your life, you are sabotaging, listen to me carefully, you are sabotaging your own personal spiritual joy.
identical principle. For joy is pleasing and serving the Lord. There's no greater joy in life than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be found on the face of this earth. Pleasing Him, that determines our joy. When He's joyful with us and our service unto Him, then we experience more joy. Our faithfulness and our obedience to Him gives us greater joy. Have you experienced that? The more that I serve Him, doesn't something grow? I mean, the joy, just grows in our lives. Now listen, those of you that are deliberately committing acts of destruction and disruption to your joy, stop it. Please. Please stop it. If you violate the scriptures, if you don't do what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded you to do in all of these circumstances and situations of your life, you're sabotaging your own spiritual joy. If you're backbiting and you don't take those situations and circumstances of offense directly to the person, you're violating the teaching and commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we think that we can violate the commandments and teachings of God's holy word and maintain the joy of Jesus, you are badly mistaken. Badly mistaken. You're sabotaging your own spiritual joy. Listen, if you think you can experience the joy of the Christian walk in life and violate the simplest of commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, like not following Him in baptism, you've got another thing coming. It don't work that way. If you want to experience the blessings and the joy of Jesus, you have to do what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded. He's commanded us. He's taught us. That's one of the reasons, and this is one of the greatest frustrations of my life. To teach and teach and teach and teach and teach the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ and see people blatantly violate those simple commandments and principles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think to myself, why would they want to do that to their own joy? Why? I don't understand that. It is frustrating. Perhaps that's why the Hebrew writer said in the 13th chapter, obey those that have rule over you. They watch over your soul. They're going to have to give an account unto Jesus for their ministry and for their teaching, because if you don't do those things that they're teaching from the Word of God, it brings them great disappointment. And that's just simply not good for you. But rather bring them joy in just doing what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us. Listen, if you have some kind of bitterness or some kind of anger or some kind of resentment in your heart, you know that's going to deplete you of the joy that you have in Jesus. You just can't. Listen, if you can live that way and still put on the front of a Christian life, then you're a big hypocrite. A hypocrite. A hypocrite. True Christians, listen to me, true, genuine Christians, they have to deal with the spiritual things, don't they? Amen. I mean, they walk with the Lord, they talk with the Lord, and they hear from the Lord. They experience conviction from the Lord. And I'll tell you something, the way you treat other people affects your joy.
Sure does. Sure does. And if you don't have a forgiving heart, what did Jesus say? If you don't forgive others, the Father will not forgive you. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. And people holding resentment and anger and malice toward people many times when they have not done them any wrong purposely. It can be an accident. And they just have all kinds of anger and malice. Joy. Let's look at a snapshot of the Christian community and the kind of joy that we should have. Let's notice in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is referred to as an epistle of joy. We know the circumstances of the Apostle Paul. I like what he says in the second chapter in verse 17. He says, yes, if I be offered up, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy. In other words, Paul said, for me to be sacrificed for the benefit and the blessings of other people at church, therein lies my joy. Lifting other people up at church, helping other people at church. I mean, I get joy in that, don't you? He's talking about having a positive influence. He said there's joy there. There's rejoicing in all that. Look in the first chapter. Let's just go through and notice just a few of the joys that he experienced in being part of the work of God, being part of the church. There is joy found at church that cannot be found anywhere else. There's joy among the people of God that you cannot find in the world. Amen. It's simply not there. All of these institutions and organizations out there in the world, they do not possess divine joy. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul begins talking about that joy. In verse 3, he begins to thank God about the joy of recalling the blessings that he had experienced among them. I'm sure he first thought of when he went into this city and there was that lady whose name was Lydia, who was a seller of purple, and he preached the gospel to her and God opened her heart. What a blessing to see people saved. Paul rejoiced in the opening of Lydia's heart and seeing people saved in that city. He remembered the blessings and their beginnings. Listen, as we look back over the years, we need to remember the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And it should cause us to rejoice. Joy and recognition of the blessings of God, remembering, recalling those blessings that God has brought into our lives. Notice verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, the Apostle Paul was praying for you. Listen, those of us that are part of the Lord's church, there is a joy of intercession. Not only a joy of recollection, but there's joy of intercession. The times we've spent together in prayer, one for another. The times we've been on this altar on our faces before God, asking for help, asking for healing, asking for blessings, asking for strength, asking for power from on high. And God has heard our prayers. Our church has this space out here. I like space, don't you? This is for times for us to come into the altar and have altar prayers and get in close and intercede one for another. Yeah. And I look back over this congregation and the times I prayed over with you folks on different occasions and different circumstances in your homes, at your in the hospitals, with your children when they were born and when they died. And I've been there at the funeral homes, and I've been there in your homes, and we've come together and we've prayed and we've interceded for one another. And I've heard you pray for me, and I've prayed for you. And what a blessing, what a joy to have people praying for you. The blessings of being together and praying together. Isn't there joy in that? When we were hurting and in pain and in anguish or in sorrow or in disappointment or in our sins, somebody got along beside of us and prayed for us.
and you felt their prayers, you sensed them. There was a joy in recollection. There's a joy in intercession. And you know, though the Lord has not always given us what we wanted, He's always been there for us when we went through the problems. And we sensed His power. We experienced His power. We sensed His presence. What are we looking at? We're looking at a snapshot of joy among the community of believers that's like none other. And I haven't even got, I'm still in my introduction, believe it or not. All right, let's move on. He said, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests. With what? With joy. There's always joy when we pray. But not only in intercession. He says, notice verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel, there's a joy of participation. He says, from the first day until now. I mean, there was perpetual participation among the believers, the community of believers, and there was a joy in that. There was a rejoicing in that. Do you want to see the cause of Jesus Christ advanced? Amen. You want to see sinners saved? Amen. You want to see this church flourish and see the glory of God reside on it and the anointing reside upon His people? Amen. Man, that's my conviction. Isn't that yours? Don't you want to come here and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased with us? Amen. Isn't that paramount? Amen. Yes, it is. And so there's a fellowship in that. There's a conviction in that. There's a commitment in that. I want to do everything that I can do personally as a believer and as just a member of this body to do what I'm supposed to do in service unto Him and give the Lord my very best. I believe we should give the Lord Jesus our very best. There's a fellowship in advancing the cause. There's a joy in that that cannot be found in the world. I mean, there's a knitting of our hearts. You know what I'm talking about? There's a oneness. There's a unity. There's a one accord that comes through trying to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. There's a fellowship among the believers that benefits us spiritually and gives us joy. Gives us joy. If you think you can have the joy of Jesus and not be plugged into a local body of believers, you're wrong. Amen. You're mistaken. Amen. Doesn't happen that way. There's a community of believers and they experience something that cannot be experienced in the world. So there's a joy of recollection of the blessing. You know, the greatest blessings I've had in my ministry is recalling the blessings of the Lord in His church and among His people. I mean, the greatest joy of my life. And it was a joyful time when, you know, I was married, my kids were born, and I've had some, you know, I've had some happy or joyful events, but none of them compare to the joy I had when I got saved. And when my wife got saved, and when my children got saved, and when your children got saved, and some of you that are older, and I'd prayed for you and had burned for you, and when you got saved, what joy there was in that! There's nothing in the world that can compare to that joy. Look, we are to be servants of the Lord. It is not easy. Sometimes it's hard work, isn't it? Jesus told us, He said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. He told us we were going to have complications. He told us that we were going to have difficulties. We were going to have problems. That this was going to be a challenge. That we need to march like soldiers of the cross. Be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Hold the bloodstained banner up before the world. We need to go forth and we need to be willing to sacrifice our lives for the advancement of the Lord's cause. And in so doing, He would bless us. He would raise us if we fall. Do you think the martyrs died happy? Do you think they're happy today? Yeah. I realized that this heavenly joy, that's what we receive. We have something inside of us that did not originate here. Now, it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall, and Jesus brought it back to us, the fellowship with the Father. He brought it back to us by the sacrifice of Himself. But the joy that Christians have, it doesn't originate here. We cannot manufacture it. We cannot legislate it. We can't vote it in conference and have joy. We can't develop programs to make God's people joyful. Joy comes from Jesus. Remember what was said there to those shepherds by those angels? You know, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy that should be in all people. The gospel is a joyful message. It is good news. Good news. And we are in fellowship with that. We're working, we're striving to get that good news out. And we have to work in cooperation with one another. We cannot do it individually. We have to be in fellowship with one another in order for the gospel to go forth. It's not a one-man band. It's a cooperative endeavor. The gospel was left with His church. Do you believe that? I do. I believe He commissioned the church. Every one of us. I know we like to push it off on the preacher. And yeah, it's tough to be on your game every time you stand in this pulpit. It's tough. And a lot of people, but listen, it ought to be a responsibility for every one of us as believers and members of the Lord's church that when we come into the house of God, that every single one of us ought to be on our game. We all should feel the responsibility. There's a responsibility that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ to advance the cause and to spread the gospel. He also talks about the fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now, from the time that Lydia got saved until now. There was a perpetual. Do you think you could just lay out of church and still be okay in the joy of the Lord? No, you know, that just blows my mind. People think that they can just, it don't work. You're just sabotaging your own joy. You think you'll be happy outside of the community of believers? No, you can't have happiness outside of the community of believers. He saved you and He placed you in His church. If He did not do both of those things, you've got a serious spiritual problem. Amen. Now, if you saved yourself and placed yourself, that's not the way it works. Amen. The Lord does the saving, and the Lord does the placing. Amen. And I don't mind telling people that. I believe that they need to be led of the Lord to be part of His church. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit, don't you? The Lord has to place you. The Bible says it over and over again in the book of Acts. The Lord added unto the church such as should be saved. He did the adding. Amen. You can't add yourself. But I believe when you get saved, He will add you. He will. You'll be in misery until He does. You won't experience the true joy of the Christian walk, Christian life. So we're looking at this snapshot. Paul had this recollection. He had these times of intercession with those people there at Philippi. He had a participation. They were in fellowship with him with the gospel and spreading the gospel. And those verse 7 and 8, he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart and so much. There was an affection there. I mean, there was an affection. We don't have perfect joy now, but we will have perfect joy when we're in the presence of Jesus, won't we? What was it Peter said? I believe it was Jude 24. That he might present you blameless. And what else? In exceeding joy. Listen, we're working toward, we're moving toward a time when we will be in perfect joy in the presence of the Lord.
Perfect joy. For now, it's being added to. You know, we're being filled up with joy. Our cup's being added to. But one of these days, it's going to be perfected. So, but he also had this affection toward them. He loved them. I mean, he had them in their heart. I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. Look at verse 7. Can you honestly say that about the people that's in this auditorium today? I have you in my heart. An affection. You know, hey, that's the problem with our joy today. Maybe that's the problem with people today. There's not this connection, this concern, this affection one toward another. I mean, he says, listen, we need to love one another. We need to obey the commandments of the Lord. The Lord, it's not an option. You must forgive and love one another. You need to be in fellowship with one another. You need to have one another on your heart. You ought to prefer one another, actually, the Bible says. So there was this anticipation of this joy being perfected, that he was going to perform this wonderful work in our lives. Listen, we're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this. I mean, and he's saying, this is what I need to be. This is how it ought to be, that I have you in my heart. And I want to read at least verse 7 and 8. Insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Is that possible? Is that possible? For somebody to be... He was incarcerated. Okay? And he was so close to this church at Philippi that he was getting grace. Okay? Being in that dungeon, being in that prison, he was getting grace. And that grace somehow or another was spilling over into that church all the way at Philippi. I've often said that Addie's been getting a lot of grace. Have y'all felt some of that? Huh? The stuff that she's been going through and that family's been going through, has it been spilling out on you as a church member? It has me. I thought at one point that sometimes we think that grace just came directly from God, but sometimes it comes out of somebody else's life. And that's basically what Paul is saying in these passages. That they were experiencing grace. They were partakers of his grace. Of the grace that he was getting from God. Sharing grace with one another is important in the fellowship and the work and the joy that the church has. Sharing the grace that God gives us individually can be experienced collectively. Let me show you the course of joy hurriedly. First of all, you will never experience joy till you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. His first teaching, his first preaching, his first sayings, his first words was, "Repent of your sins. Believe upon me and you'll be saved." You'll never experience joy till you get saved. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You must repent of your sins. So the course for divine joy starts with believing and repenting of your sins. Secondly, I believe the course of this joy is joined with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I spoke earlier about Galatians, how it talks about that it's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the result of the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? But not only that, as you live the Christian life, you must obey the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in order for that joy to grow. So how are we going to have joy for the new year? Well, for those of you that's not been saved yet, the best way for you to have happiness and joy of the new year is to get saved, right? For those of us who have repented of our sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we don't do anything that will upset the Holy Ghost, right? I've never seen doves, and we've got that dove hanging up there, and that's to represent the Holy Ghost. I've never seen doves on a garbage dump. If your life's full of garbage, don't expect the Holy Ghost to be present in your life. We don't need to offend. We don't need to grieve. We don't need to resist the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Their needs. The people of God had such joy on the day of Pentecost, the people of the world thought they were drunk. I mean, you think about Paul and Silas, and they're incarceration, and they're being in prison. They're at Philippi. Did he have joy when they were down in that dungeon? What were they doing down there? They'd been beaten and whipped and thrown into a dungeon. And what do you find Paul and Silas doing? You find them praying and praising the Lord. And you know what happened when they were just praying and praising the Lord? The jailhouse rocked, didn't it? Yeah. And all the doors swung open. And they didn't even run. The other prisoners were so intrigued by the joy that these two disciples of the Lord had. They wanted that more than they wanted their own freedom. Listen, if you want to influence your kids and your grandkids, you need to make sure you keep the joy alive in your life. Amen. That will attract them quicker than anything. It is a joy to serve the Lord. If you make it a hardship or a painful thing or a difficult thing, it's not difficult when the Lord's helping you. Amen? And when you're among God's people that will intercede for you and help you and strengthen you along the way, if you show them the joy of Jesus in your life, it will inspire them to seek after the Lord because they cannot find this in the world. Let's get a song. You just can't find it. Joy, the Latin of it is exalt. To leap, to spring up inside of you. You know, there's an exhilaration that comes from the inside that is not affected by happenings. Can you rejoice in trouble? We're instructed to do so. We're to rejoice in tribulation because tribulation works patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. Hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. There's joy in the soul that the world just can't get to. Sometimes we get to thinking that the devil can take our joy away, or that government or life or tragedy or problems, or sometimes we get to thinking that the world can rob us of our joy. The only one that can rob you of your joy is you. Amen. I mean, the world can do whatever they want to you. And if you've got the joy of Jesus, it will remain. That's how the martyrs endured that affliction. They had the joy. You can't touch it. The world can't get it. The devil can't get it. It's safe in Jesus. I just don't know how I'm going to react when I see the face of the Lord. But there's where my joy began, and that's where it will reside. It will never end.